Good morning. It is Sunday, September the 8th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, we start this morning's show on a bit of a somber note. A pillar of our community and a former mayor of Highlands, John Cleveland, passed away this past week. And I know he will be sorely missed, both by his family, of course, and by this town, which owes so much to his life of service.
Absolutely, Chris. And you know, on behalf of the town, let me send out our condolences, our thoughts and prayers to his family. And one of the things that I think is always so important is to acknowledge that John loved his family. He was a family man first, but then also he was a great visionary leader for the town of Highlands and served as mayor for so many years. And one of the things that I always knew about John was he loved this community. And he was a realtor, and he truly believed this was the greatest place in the world to live. He did so many things in his time as mayor that we enjoy today as a community. So many of the programs we have in our community, especially in our town government, were initiated by John and his leadership. But, you know, one of the great lasting legacies that we all will benefit from is his initiation of creating the Highlands School Scholarship Program. I know he was the mayor and had the idea of creating a scholarship fund for the graduates of Highlands School. He was able to enlist the support of many people in Highlands to raise this wonderful endowment, which is now almost $1 million. And every year we'll remember John because we will have young people receiving a scholarship to go on to further their education. So that's a lasting legacy that John has given to this town. And on a personal note, I remember when I was first elected mayor and John was in better health, he'd be at his office across the street from town hall, and there were many times he'd just come over and we'd sit down in my office and just chat. And he was a great resource for me as I was learning what it was to be a mayor. And we'd discuss problems and issues, and he would give a great long perspective since he had been the mayor for so many terms. And he always helped me out. Sometimes I'd get frustrated about some pressing problem, and he always had a great sense of humor and would just tell me, says, you know, just remember, Pat, people have different perspectives. You're just gonna have to work through it as the mayor, and just kind of laugh about it. And I think that was what I remember about John. He was always just a person that loved this community and really wanted to serve the citizens in any way he could. And he will be missed, and we will be thinking about what John has contributed to this community in the coming days.
You're absolutely right. He will truly be missed, but leaves an amazing legacy. Service arrangements are pending. We will let our listeners know once those have been determined. On to an issue, Mr. Mayor, that we've talked about previously on this program and seems to be stirring up a bit of consternation in town based on the lengthy articles in both the Highlander and the Highlands News this week, and that would be the issue of possibly having some regulations dealing with short-term rental programs like Airbnb or VRBO. It seems a lot of people have concerns on both sides of the issue.
Yes, a lot of people are talking, and in the newspapers this past week, there were a number of articles, even an editorial about the impending review of VRBO and Airbnb. I stand by what I've said. It's time to look at it, and I believe it's time to take reasonable action. This is not just a local issue, but it's a national issue. Most towns and municipalities are addressing some of the same issues. So I think it's time that we look at this issue. I think it's going to be a healthy discussion. I was reading in the newspaper this week, some people say, oh, it's just perfect, we don't need to do a thing. And then other people say, no, there are concerns. I will say that there was a news item just recently in another community near here where the law enforcement people discovered that somebody was using VRBO. They were in Atlanta or some major city, and they would book a VRBO and deal drugs from the VRBO. And then the next week, they were at another location. And finally, law enforcement caught up with them and shut that operation, thankfully, down. But I'm not saying that that's what's going on here, but I do think there's some concerns and issues that people have, especially the people in these residential areas who invested in those residential communities. And they, too, the feedback I've gotten from them, they don't want to shut it down, but they do want to see some rules and regulations that kind of control how many people can be in a house and so forth. And I don't think that's unreasonable on their part. Yes, there is this issue of I've owned this property. You can't tell me what to do with my property. But, you know, we've had zoning in this country upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court since the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we want to do is to look at what is being used with that property now, and does it comport with what we expect property use to occur in any particular residential area, R1, R2. So, like I say, I know the board will be reviewing this issue in the coming weeks. Feel free to contact your board members and express, you know, your concerns or encouragement for taking action. That's the way the process works. You know, I'm the mayor. I bring up issues. I can even, you know, support certain directions we want to go, but actually it gets down to the town board members examining an issue, and then they cast the votes that either make an ordinance or not. So I encourage people to communicate with their representatives.
Well, certainly there are pluses and minuses to the whole VRBO Airbnb presence here in Highlands. And one of the pluses probably is it is kind of lowered the barrier to entry to spending some time here. Often it can be more cost effective than a hotel, and it's less pricey than renting for a week or a month if you're able to do a few days. And that has had probably a tangible benefit, and that is an increase in the rise of tourism. And we have some actual numbers out that reflect that rise.
That's right. I know Tommy Jenkins, the director of Macon County Economic Development, just released the 2018 figures on tourism. Tourists spent something like $170 million in Macon County, a lot of that right here in Highlands. And it was an increase of 5%. So we are seeing an increase in tourism. And the big discussion in town, and I talk with a lot of people, some people say we have too many tourists and we don't need to be, you know, recruiting more and more and more people coming to the community. The counter to that is the business community and people that depend on tourism as a way of making a living. And they're saying, what's the problem? The more tourists we have, the more money people are able to make to live here on the plateau. So that's another dynamic that's going on. And it is kind of related to the past issue we talked about, VRBO. Some folks would say we don't have enough hotel space here in Highlands to accommodate tourists. And they would like to see more hotels built in the business area. I might add that if someone does build a hotel in the business area, they have to provide parking. They can't mm-hmm. just have people parking on the public parking spaces. But some people think that we could increase the number of hotels and that would accommodate tourists. In a way, we have kind of a safety valve right now in VRBO. While people might not be able to find hotel accommodations for a given period of time, they're using the VRBO option of just renting, you know, property in the residential areas. And again, I've said, you know, this, and I'll continue to say it. I'm concerned that we don't want to create a motel zone, de facto motel zone, in the residential areas. So those are some dynamics that the town government, the Chamber of Commerce, we're all going to have to address in the coming months and weeks. And that is, how do we manage this continual growth in tourism? What are some of the best ways we can address those issues? And again, I heard it this week, someone saying, oh, we need to put up a parking garage. Okay, let's put up a parking garage, and I'll be happy to discuss with anyone the numbers. I can tell you that the parking garage at the Asheville Airport handles 1,000 parks. It cost $22 million to construct. We could double the size of parking in Highlands for about that cost or maybe even more. But who would pay for such a thing? And what would be the quality of life impact by putting up such a structure in the business area. We've been looking at this. We talked to Blowing Rock just recently, the staff and the town manager there. They put up a parking lot because they don't have but about half the parking spaces that we have in Highlands. They have about 500. We have almost 1,000 parking spaces in the business area of Highlands, almost more than any town in Western Carolina, bar the large towns like Asheville. But they put up a parking garage for $1.6 million. They increased their parking capacity by 65 parking spaces. And, of course, everybody says, oh, you can charge for it. They discovered you can't charge parking for those 65 spaces and then have free parking everywhere else. So, you know, those are some of the issues that we need to deal with as we look at the increased tourism. Hotel accommodations, VRBO, and yes, parking, and bathrooms, all of those areas will require our attention, I think, in the coming months.
Well, certainly we saw an increase in the number of folks in town this week, unusual for the week after Labor Day, and that was likely due to a lot of folks getting away from the path of Hurricane Dorian. Likely not a major impact here in Highlands, nothing like Maria or Irma in the past, but certainly the town was preparing for the hurricane, and the hurricane is going to have an effect on the town, even though the impact was not direct.
That is correct, Chris, and I will say this, you know, at our last broadcast, you know, I told everyone, our staff and everyone is looking at this hurricane very intensely because as it was approaching the Florida coast, if it had crossed Florida and got into the Gulf and started to come up by Tampa and into the Apalachicola Bay, invariably when that pattern occurs, that bad weather is coming to Highlands and it'll wreak havoc, as several have in the last, you know, couple of years. But that didn't happen. It shifted course and went right up the Atlantic coast. And yes, it does have an impact on us because you recall we've had about three major hurricanes hit North Carolina, the coast of North Carolina, in the last several years. And they did tremendous damage. For example, Matthew caused flooding and so forth. And just recently, some of those towns and counties that were affected just started getting the funds that they had to spend and the state had to spend for rebuilding and repairing all of that damage. So the problem is we might have another situation where we have major damage from a hurricane coming upon North Carolina, and some of the resources that we normally would expect to have here in Western Carolina, rightfully so, has to be diverted toward these disaster areas. So it's kind of like we can't catch up because we're just getting pounded by these weather systems from year to year. I hope that doesn't become the norm, but I'm beginning to think that we can anticipate these kind of events occurring very frequently now with climate change. So it's a real problem. It impacts DOT because they have to, you know, send money over to deal with loss of bridges and road washouts and so forth. So we're just in a wait-and-see mode. DOT has been kind of suffering from funding for the last several months based on the impasse with the budget that the governor and the legislature has, and then with the lawsuit that they had to shell out, you know, like $1 billion to compensate land owners that they had prevented from using their land because of possible road construction. So it's a very difficult time on managing resources.
Well, on that note, we will be seeing some paving, but not a whole lot, and it will be exclusively done on the municipal level. We do have some paving projects in the pipeline, though.
That is right, and people have been asking me, well, when does this get started? And I can announce by the end of this month, probably around the 26th, the contractor for paving Colasagia and Hickory Hill should get underway, and we'll be paving the Hickory Hill, the Colasagia Road, and then Oak Lane. Those are the three big projects that we've got slated for this coming year. And you'll see on Colasagia that we go down to the Mirror Lake about halfway, and then we'll stop. The reason is the upper part towards 64 was in really bad shape and from all the rains and so forth. We'll pave that first, and then next year we'll pick up and finish Colasadia, and then we'll move on to other roads that need our attention here in the town. As I've said in the past, we need to play catch-up on paving roads, and with the hundred of inches of rain that we received last year and the storms in the winter and everything, we really had a lot of road damage, and now we've got to really be aggressive in addressing those issues. So this is just the beginning of kind of a road paving program that the town will be embracing.
Well, lastly, Mr. Mayor, trash has been the topic of much discussion over the last while. The town has approved some new trash ordinances. And I understand you're kind of getting ahead of the curve on the requirement to have a bear-proof toter. You're leading the pack, so to speak.
Well, you know, I'm a military veteran, and part of the leadership model for the military is you always set the example and never expect anybody to do anything that you won't do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I set the example this past week. I've acquired my bear-resistant toter, a 64-gallon toter, and then I started the ambitious project of removing my old bear-resistant housing, my container for my trash cans. I got rid of my 34-gallon trash containers, took this old structure apart, tried to salvage a little bit of it, but then I put in a new holder system for my new bear-resistant toter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of it. I've got carried away and probably overbuilt because I never underestimate the power of a bear if they want to get into something. But I put this in place. I built a little wooden ramp so our trash collector folks can come along and just open the gate and roll it right down to their trucks. And then finally, I had Mark of our sanitation crew to just come and give me a critique of the new structure, and he said it'll work just fine. So we've got our fingers crossed that my design will hold up if the bears decide to assault the bear-resistant toter. I just don't want the bears to be taking the toter and knocking it over and jumping on it. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the spirit of this new design. But if anyone would like some advice on what you can do in the coming months as we have a year to make this transition, please give me a call. I'll send you a photograph of what I've done. My number is 828-506-3138. So I'll be happy to, you know, give you my advice for what it's worth about how to address this issue of providing a bear-resistant system for the trash collectors. I will say one thing, too. As I was talking to Mark on our crew, he was noting that a lot of people are already buying those bear-resistant mm-hmm. toters. And the feedback, while they are expensive, it's rather positive because it does deter bears from just coming in and turning over a trash can and scattering garbage mm-hmm. all over the yard. Now, I use the term bear resistant. Our metal street cans that we installed earlier this year, they are bear proof.
Mm-hmm.
These are just bear resistant. There's no guarantee that these toters can't be, you know, violated and opened by a smart bear, but it makes it much harder, and that's mm-hmm. kind of what we want to see happen. The other thing I've noticed now, several days when I see garbage out on the streets for our crews to pick up, there's several people that still just kind of throw their garbage in bags on the side of the road. That's not even acceptable under our old ordinances, mm-hmm. but especially with the new ordinances, you've got to have it in a container. It has to be in a trash bag of some sort. Those are the new rules. So for the folks that just think it's okay just to pile up trash bags on the side of the road, those days are coming to an end, and I hope we'll all work together to address this issue of bears and also improving our system of sanitation and handling the garbage.
And on that note, we will wrap up this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.